Welcome today. We're so glad you're here in the house. It's the last time we gather for 2019. Kind of significant. It's also the last time for this decade. So, like, that seems like even more important. So, awesome, awesome. Well, we're glad you're here today. I do want to give a quick advertisement, if I can, about our class that helps people find out more about us. I have a quick graphic I want to show you just to give you a little feel for us. Our church has shaped its ministry around these five purposes. And it begins with evangelism. And as a church, we want to reach our city. We want to do outreach. We want to make an impact in our city. And so one of the things we have built as a foundation of our church is outreach. The next is worship. We love to worship. We want to help you make Jesus the center of your life. And so when we gather here on Sundays, we worship. The next thing we want to do is help you grow. We want to help you grow in your spirit life. We believe it's important that we move forward and we continue to experience more and grow more, understand more, live more of who we are to be in Christ. And so we want to help you grow. We do that by teaching you how to have a personal devotion, quiet time with the Lord. The next thing is community. It's important that we have people in our life that journey with us, that encourage us, and at times maybe even help us stay on track with in our life. And so community, we have life groups that we love to help people get planted in. So you build those relationships. And then purpose is where we help you find out what God has called you to, how you are to serve, how you are to make an impact with your life. And so those are five of our purposes that we have shaped our church around. And if you want to know more about our church, if you want to know about our vision, more about our purpose, if you want to find out more about our church structure, our ministries, our government, everything about us, you can sign up for our Next Step class that kicks off next Sunday. And you can sign up online and become a part of that. If you're new here, this is the place to onboard with our church to find out more about us. And so I invite you to that. Amen? Amen, amen. Awesome, awesome. I also want to let you know that we are beginning a series today called Vision. And so Vision 2020. I originally planned on kicking it off next week. And I just kind of felt like the Lord was leading me to kind of grasp a concept before we get into 2020. So today we'll jump into that. I do want to let you know that next week is going to be an amazing week for us because we are also going to start our 21 days of prayer together. And so we have a book for every person next week that comes. And so I want to let you know that when you come, free book for you. This is a book called 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer. And I believe that God wants to do great things in your life. I believe that God wants to help you have breakthroughs in your life. And so we want to partner together as a church, pray together. We want to hear what God is saying to us, pray into that. I believe what you pray for will be what you see in the future in your life. And so we want to pray for those things. And so when you come, we're going to give you a book. But you have to be here to get the book next week. So that's a good little sales pitch there. The following Sunday, after we begin the 21 days of prayer, we have a special service called our prophetic service. And we believe that you need to hear the prophetic vision of God for your life, for our church. And so our staff is going to be here on the platform sharing about what we believe God is saying to our church and corporately what God wants to say to us. And so it's an amazing time of us hearing what God is saying and speaking it. A quick verse about that, just to give you context. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, it says that where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And so when the church does not speak prophetically, then it leaves people without a purpose, direction. And so we want to give direction based on what God is saying to us as a church. So pretty important Sunday. I would encourage you to be here for that. And then the week after that, I'm just giving you a little heads up for this vision series. We're going to talk about how we declare God's word over our life. We use our words. Our words have life in them. And so we want to declare that and just declare what God wants to do. And then the last week of this series will be a special Sunday where we'll share some things about what God is doing through us in our church and some vision talk about our church. So it's going to be a great series. You're invited to all of it. Amen? Amen. So today, as we begin 2020 series, Vision 2020, my sermon title is Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Because if you cannot see it, then you'll never have faith to possess it. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this morning. We thank you that you are speaking prophetically to our church. Lord, I ask that even as I speak today, that this wouldn't just be Tim Blevins' words. These would be words that have been birthed by the Spirit. And Lord, that they would bring life to us. Help us to see what you are saying to us, Lord, so that we may be able to have direction and vision for our life. So bless this morning. Bless every person that's here. We love you, Lord. You're amazing. In Jesus' name, can I get an amen, church? Amen, amen. Amen. Vision isn't about natural eyesight. And I mean, obviously, I wear glasses, helps my vision naturally. But I think we might need spiritual glasses at times to be able to see what God is saying spiritually. We see with spiritual eyes as well as we see with our natural eyes. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? They'll say, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So they're not saying that I see it in a natural sense, but they're saying I comprehend what you're saying. I can get a picture of that. I can get a vision of that in my head. I can see what you're saying. You had the ability to see outside of the natural, beyond the natural, to see what God is saying. So I brought a Christmas present here. I'll just put it right here. Now, you're not going to get it because this is actually, I think this is Eli's, one of his presents that I gave to him. So I got it back. He's out of town, so he's okay. But I just want to show you that you can see beyond the natural. And so you don't know what's in this box. But if I started to describe what's in it, you'd begin to get a picture of it. You begin to see it. So if I said to you there's something round in this box, it's orange. It has these stripes that go around it. It says Wilson on the side of it. You generally bounce it around. It's used in a game, and people bounce it up and down the floor, and they stop and they shoot it in a goal. Now, you haven't seen what's in there, but I'm pretty sure you've been able to grasp what's there. Come on, help me out, somebody. What's in there? Yeah, so you got it. So I'll just show you. There really is a basketball in here. Isn't that a great gift to give your son, though? Absolutely. I was thinking that if I were really bold, I would take a shot today. Because we are in a gymnasium. But I was quite concerned that when I miss it, it would ricochet off, hit that screen, bounce off of that, hit somebody in the head, and then we would have to have prayer ministry the rest of the time. And so I decided not to do that today out of great wisdom. But I wanted to show you that you can see something without having to see it in the natural. And that's what I want us to be able to grasp today, that God wants us to be able to see today beyond the natural, to see what God is saying to us. And so my message today comes out of the Old Testament. We're going to look at a story, a vision. Ezekiel shares this vision. He gives this vision in the book of Ezekiel. And I want to take this story because he has this vision of Israel and how they're being restored out of a really hard season. And I think it just directly applies to our life. And so let me kind of set up what is going on. So Ezekiel, he is a prophet to the Israelites. At this point, the Israelites, who are God's chosen people, their calling was to be light in a dark world. I mean, that's why God, he established this, to be my people, so they would be an influence to the rest of the world. Unfortunately, instead of them bringing light to the world at this point in the story, they allowed darkness to come into their camp. Instead of them being an influence to the world began to influence them, and they began to worship false gods, and they began to have practices that were anything but godly. And as a result, God punished them for it. God wanted them to worship him only. And so because they were so far off track, and after centuries of prophetic warnings and cautions, they still never got it. And so he allowed the Babylonians to come and conquer Jerusalem and the Israelites. And when they conquered, they destroyed the city. They destroyed the walls. They burned the temple. They killed most of the people. And the survivors were captured and taken back to Babylon. Ezekiel was one of those that was captured and taken back to Babylon. So Ezekiel is God's mouthpiece to the Israelites while they're exiled or in captivity. And so if you're reading the book of Ezekiel, for most of two-thirds of the book of Ezekiel, God is using him to speak judgment over Israel for their sins so that they would see what they were doing wrong, so they'd stop that and do what was right. Somewhere around chapter 36, though, in this extremely dark and depressing time for the Israelites, God begins to speak a vision to Ezekiel for the Israelites that he is going to restore the Israelites, that he is going to restore Jerusalem, he is going to restore the temple, and he is going to restore them for his name's sake. He's like, I want my name to be glorified in the earth. And so he begins to use Ezekiel in this very dark season to prophesy to them that there's restoration to come. This vision of hope and promise comes at a very hard season for the Israelites. And that's what vision does for us. It, in the middle of a hard season, a prophetic vision, a word from God, begins to change our perspective from where we are to where we're going. It begins to give us hope in dark seasons. It gives us faith to believe God for something that's to come. I don't know what your 2019 was like. Maybe some of your life was fantastic, but I'm pretty sure all of us have some areas of our life that were not where we want it to be. Maybe in some areas there was some brokenness and some dark places, maybe some, you know, marriage struggles or financial struggles or whatever it may be. I'm pretty convinced that all of us probably could use a vision of what God can do in those dark places and give us hope, help us to believe again, trust God for breakthroughs, and just begin to hope again. Amen? Your faith for what you need comes from seeing what God is saying. And so we want to use our spiritual eyes. So in the book of Ezekiel, God begins to talk to them about restoration. And he starts out around chapter 36 assuring them, hey, I'm going to restore Israel. And then he describes the process of restoration. And he says, first I'm going to restore the temple. And he said, it's going to be bigger. And he draws out the lines and describes what the temple should look like for their restoration. It's going to be bigger and better and more glorious. And God's like, I'm going to rebuild this temple through you. And then he says, I'm going to then restore the priest. The priest had totally fallen off the bandwagon while they were in Israel and Jerusalem to begin with. And they were worshiping false gods and they were speaking lies instead of truth. And so God says, I have to restore my priest. And when I restore my temple, when I restore my priest, he said, then I'm going to restore my presence back into the temple. I'm going to restore my glorious presence and it's going to come and house itself again back with my people. Now in the old covenant, God's presence was always contained to the temple. And it was in the inner room, and the priest would minister for on behalf of the people to God, and the priest would make sacrifices on people's behalf in God's presence for them. And so at this point in this story, we see that the temple is being restored, the priests are restored, God's glorious presence restored. And then Ezekiel begins to talk about what's going to happen as the presence of God is restored back in the temple. And this is where we're going to pick up Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. And it says that the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. So just real quickly, Ezekiel is in some sort of a place where he is seeing a vision from God. So maybe he's either asleep, maybe he's in a deep meditation. And there's a man, this is either the angel of the Lord or some maybe Holy Spirit presence of God, but it's leading him. So we'll just say it's the Spirit of the Lord is leading him. And so this man, Spirit of God, brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. And the water was coming down from underneath the south side of the temple, south of the altar. So in the inner room, the presence of God. And now we see water coming from the presence of God through the threshold out from the temple. It says, verse 2, it says, he then brought me out through the north gate, led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. The water was trickling from the south side. And as the man went eastward, measuring with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. A cubit, by the way, would be the distance between the end of your fingers to your elbow. And so he had a measuring, usually about 18 inches, and he began to measure off a cubit. So he says the man went eastward, measuring off the line with his hand. He measured off 1,000 cubits. Then he led me through the water, and now it was ankle deep. So we went from trickle to ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was now knee deep. And he measured off 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. And he measured off 1,000, but now it was a river, and I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. So out of the presence of God, out of the temple where God's presence was, this water began to flow, and it deepened in 5 levels from a trickle to over his head. And so then the Spirit of the Lord looks at Ezekiel, and he says, and he asked Ezekiel this. He said, son of man, do you see this? This is verse 6. Do you see this? Son of man, do you see this? This is an important kind of part of the vision, because obviously Ezekiel could see the river. Like he had been in the river in this vision, he led him through the river. At this point, Ezekiel's soaking wet, you know, like he'd been over his head swimming around. And so, you know, the Spirit of the Lord asking him, says, do you see it? Do you see this? I'm like, can you see what is here? I'm just thinking, and I'm reading between the lines a little bit, that Ezekiel probably said, well, obviously I'm soaking wet. I see the river. I can see what you're talking about. But the Spirit of the Lord wasn't talking about the river. The Spirit of the Lord was talking about something that he needed to see with his spiritual eyes. He could see the river naturally. He was experiencing it. He was fully in the river. He's like, I see the river. But that's not what the Spirit of the Lord wanted to talk to me about. It wasn't about seeing the natural. It was seeing beyond the natural. And so this is just a kind of a quick definition of vision for you today, if you want to write this thought down. Vision, hit that next slide for me. Vision is seeing beyond the natural realities and seeing the spiritual realities. So we have natural realities in our life. We all do. We all have things that we're battling with or not in our life. They're natural realities. Maybe for you, your natural eyes, you see maybe your sickness or a cancer, or you see some form of you know, sickness in your body, and you see that. It's obvious. You're experiencing it. Maybe for you with your natural eyes, your marriage is struggling. You're like, this is obvious to us. We know this. Maybe it's your natural eyes, you see your bank account's way too low. Maybe you see that. It's after Christmas. Maybe, though, with your natural eyes, you see loneliness or your struggles or an addiction. Maybe your business sales are way down. Maybe your house isn't sold. For me, my natural eyes, I see Life Church still in a gymnasium and not on our property in our new building yet. I mean, I see the natural. It's easy to see. It's easy to see. But the question isn't, what do you see with the natural? That's not what the Spirit was asking him. It wasn't, what do you see? Do you see the river? It's not about our natural eyes, but it's, what do you see with your spiritual eyes? And so the Spirit of the Lord began to lead Ezekiel again, and he led him up on the bank of a river to give him a different point of view. And so Ezekiel 47:6 says this. It says, then he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, he said, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said, I saw that. I saw a great number of trees. The word here for saw, where he is seeing the trees, in the Hebrew, I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, so I'm skipping that. But what it means is behold. You can look it up on your own time. But it means behold. But if you look it up, it's behold with an exclamation point. And so what he's saying is, when I arrived, I saw, it's like, behold, like suddenly I could see something that I couldn't see before. It was like, oh, I was so occupied with what the natural was, I didn't even see the trees on the bank. He was like, I wasn't paying attention to what God was saying. I was only captured in the river. I was so far deep into the river, I couldn't see anything. And so he pulled him up out of the river on the bank and said, now look again. Look with your spiritual eyes. What do you see? Behold, he said, this is meant to say, now I see with my spiritual eyes. And it, with an exclamation point, meant he was excited about it too. Like suddenly his faith arose on that and said, oh, I see what you're saying. I see it. And he began to see the trees. The river represents the presence of God. So the river is coming out of the temple, five levels deep, represents the presence of God. I want you to know this vision that Ezekiel was having wasn't about a natural river. It was about what happens to everything that draws near to the presence of God. That's what he was talking about. That's seeing beyond the river. He's like, the presence of God was flowing through. Now on the banks of the river were trees. Like everything that comes into contact with the presence of God, God lifes it. And this is what it says here in Ezekiel 47:8. It says, he said to me, the water flows towards the east region and goes down into the valley where it enters the Dead Sea. And when it enters or empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Listen, we've been to the Dead Sea before. It's a Dead Sea. It's named that because nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Nothing. There's not even a tadpole in the Dead Sea. The salt and minerals are so high that it kills everything in the water. And so there's not a plant. There's not just one little bit of algae at the Dead Sea. It's dead, like really, really dead. But it says that when the presence of God, that river, enters into that dead water, it begins to change it and it transforms it and it takes it from being something dead to now something alive. The salty water, the dead water, it says, becomes fresh and alive. I want you to know that the things that in your life that may seem dead to you, the dead dreams and maybe the dead marriages or the hardest circumstances of your life, that when they get in the presence of God, that not only can he, you know, begin to help you, but he can resurrect dead things to life. And that's the story of Jesus, resurrection power. And so when we come into contact and we are close to Jesus and we are in the presence of God, he can make dead things come alive. And that's what he was saying to them. Let me ask you, can you see that in your life? Can you see with your spiritual eyes that God wants to restore something in your world in 2020? Can you see God doing that? Because seeing ignites our faith for it. You need faith for what God wants to do. So back to verse 9, it says, in verse 9 through 12, it says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. It says, so where the river flows, everything will live. Where the presence of God flows, everything will live. Wherever the presence, listen, this isn't just me having a good opinion here. That's what the Bible says. This is what we base our life on. You had faith to believe in Jesus for salvation. Now you need faith to believe that when you are in his presence, that he can life everything in your life. There isn't anything that can be so dead that he can't resurrect in your life. Amen. So it says in verse 10, fishermen will stand along the shore and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, but the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. In other words, there's some needs for some salt water. I'm glad there's some salt water around us. Verse 12 says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Like this is what happens when you're close to the presence. The leaves will not wither, nor will the fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. Why? This is why. Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. The water from the presence of God will flow to it. What the Spirit wanted Ezekiel to see that day, spiritually see that day, that was that wherever the river of God's presence flows, he'll renew it, he'll restore it, he'll refresh it, he'll transform it, he'll heal it, and he'll bless it. And this is what God wants you to have as you enter in 2020. God wants you to see this. Look at this slide right here. Next slide, please. When we build our life around the presence of God, then our life will be renewed, restored, refreshed, transformed, healed, and blessed. When you build your life around the presence of God, that's the story here. That's beyond seeing past our natural circumstances. Naturally, I see the problems. But if we build our life around the presence of God, he promises by his word. Listen, you have his word to stand on. Listen, that's what you need, is the word of God to stand on. Listen, if you're like, well, I can't hear God, I'm not sure I'm hearing God. Listen, read this chapter again, because he's speaking and he is saying that when you build your life around the presence of God, he will restore that area of your life. That gives you promise. Then you go into 2020 literally standing on the revelatory word of God, the prophetic word of God for your life, saying God can do it. And you stand on that and you believe it for 2020. Amen? Now, real quick, as I kind of begin to bring this to some conclusion, maybe like a first closing, I'll have two or three today. But think for a moment, though, what he talked about with these five levels of water. Because he said it would come from the threshold, there would be a trickle, then it'd be ankle, then knee deep, waist deep, and then over his head. What does this mean? So first of all, let me talk to you about what it means as for vision for the church. And not just Life Church, but the Big C Church, God's plan. This is a vision given to Ezekiel that wasn't just about on a personal level. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's for the church. And so let me explain. After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he ascended into heaven, and then he sent his spirit to live inside believers. And so that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this, it says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So now that presence of God that was contained in the Old Testament, which was in the temple, now after the death and resurrection of Christ, he sent his spirit. Now that spirit, that presence of God lives in us. Lives in us. What that means is everywhere you go, you carry the presence of God. That means every time you go to work, you go to school, you hang out with your family, everywhere you go, you are hosting and carrying the presence of God. What that means is that everywhere you go, when you leave, people ought to say, my life is better, my life is more blessed, I have more hope than I've ever had. There's something about that person that every time they're here, I feel better. I have more hope. I have more promise. Your words, listen, church, your words should reflect what the presence of God is saying. And he is saying hope, and he is saying blessings, and he is saying restoration, and he is saying resurrection. That ought to be our words, and we ought to represent him. I like the way I've read it and heard it said before, that instead of representing, we represent God. And see, that was the original call of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament Israelites, as they were to represent God to the world, so the world would want to be drawn to God. They were to be an influence in the world, an influence. Now we are called to be that influence because the presence of God is inside of us. Many people have said that the church should stay out of some areas of our culture. Some people have said the church ought to stay out of business. Church ought to stay out of politics. The church ought to stay out of secular entertainment. I want to tell you, that's not biblical. The Bible says that we are to be an influence and we carry his presence. We need to pray for people to rise up and be leaders in business and rise up and be leaders in politics. We need people to be leaders in every sphere of life. That's the biblical mandate of us, is to be an influence everywhere we go. The church should be an influence. We shouldn't let the world influence us. We influence the world. Amen? The church must be evangelistic in order to carry out this vision of the water flowing to the ends of the earth, to the Dead Sea. The vision describes the water getting deeper and deeper. What that looks like for the church is that as more and more people are won into the kingdom of God, that the river gets broader, bigger, deeper, and every year the river of God, the presence of God being hosted by more and more believers, it ought to get bigger and wider and be more influential in the earth. The church should be the same. The church should be growing. It should be expanding because we're winning new people to Christ. More of people with more of the presence of God are in them. The church, our local church, should be more impacting, more influential than we've ever been. Every year, it ought to get bigger and wider and deeper because we are winning more people to Christ and the river gets deeper and wider. We should be getting bigger and better. That's the call of God. That's why we're taking up an offering at the end of the service today for outreach, so that we can be more influential in our city. When you give today at the end of the service for our Heart for the City, I want you to pray and I want you to believe, God, use this church to help win people to Christ so that your name is glorified in this city in a way that it's never been before. And you sow that seed, that like you're sowing that. We haven't seen it yet, but in the natural, we can't see it. But if we sow it with our spiritual eyes, we can see God do great things in our city. Listen, this isn't about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about us getting bigger and better. It's about the kingdom getting bigger and better. It's not about you and I looking good and shining in our gymnasium. It's about God shining through us in this city so his name is glorified in this city. That's why we give today. Thank you. The vision is very personal as well. I believe God wants to restore areas of your life. I believe he wants to bless you. I believe he wants to heal you and refresh you. It's great. I believe that. I believe that's part of what this vision is. We apply it in a personal level. What does this mean to me personally? Well, the Spirit led Ezekiel progressively into deeper water. He started him at the trickle, the ankles, the knees, the waist, and then he was over his head in the water, the presence of God. Only at the deepest point of the river did they see the greatest miracle of the Dead Sea being resurrected. I believe that the deeper you go into God's presence, the more you'll see God move in your life. The Bible says in John 7:37, it says, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds. He said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare that the rivers of living water flow from his heart, from Jesus' heart. The rivers of living water come as we get close to Jesus, as we get deeper in his presence. I personally don't want to drink from a sippy cup for 2020. I'm like, open the fire hydrant, Lord. Like, send me to the deep waters. Baptize me in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to go so deep in him. And here's what I want for you and me in 2020. I believe God wants to lead you into deeper water so that he can do greater miracles in your life. So what does this mean? Let me just give you a few thoughts. First of all, the threshold where the water came out. The threshold is where salvation is. That's where it begins. The threshold, like you have to enter in. If there's a door, the Bible talks about a door that we get to enter into the kingdom of God. And when you cross that threshold, you come into the kingdom of God. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, today is the day to meet Jesus as your Savior, to step into the house of God, the family of God. Salvation is for you. It starts there at the threshold. And then it says there's the trickle and the ankle deep, and it gets deeper and deeper. I believe that deeper and deeper is our commitment to be connected to God's presence. I believe that's a call for all of us to be deeper. The Holy Spirit led Ezekiel deeper. I believe the Holy Spirit in 2020 wants to lead each of us deeper into his presence. I believe he's calling and he's leading us deeper, deeper and deeper. What does that look like? Some practical ideas. Maybe we think in terms of our church attendance. Maybe you attend church once or twice a month. Hey, listen, I want to say, God bless you for that. You're at ankle deep. You've crossed the threshold. Even in the shallowest waters, there are trees on the banks. So praise God. So that's not a knock in any way. I'm so glad you're once or twice a month and your ankles are deep. But I do want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is saying, can you go a little deeper? And maybe for you, instead of once or twice, you go, you know what? My commitment to go deeper in God's presence is I'm going to come 3 times a month, 4 times, just every time I'm available. My opinion is that the river is here. And we drink of his presence when we gather. That's not the only place, but it's certainly a place. We drink of his presence of God. We worship and we come into his presence. I'm just of the opinion, why would you not want to drink every Sunday from the presence of God? And so instead of like, just when I feel good, I go, it's like every time the doors are open, I do my best to be there. Now, I'm not saying that because I want to build a bigger church. I'm saying that because I want to build a better you. And that comes out of being in the presence of God. Maybe it's for you the next step, deeper waters, would be worship. What does worship look like to you? Do you approach worship? How do you approach worship? Just relating it back to here, how do you come to worship? Can I meddle for a moment? Just 1 minute. The service is almost over. He's playing the keyboards. He's getting ready to wrap me up. So I won't meddle in you long, but just 1 second. We'll come to worship. Not to hear the music. Love the music. Great job, worship team. Yay. I mean, it's awesome. But their job is to bring us to the presence. Why do you come 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes late to get into the presence of God? What if you really valued the presence of God because you knew that's where God's blessings are? And you said, nothing's going to keep me from being late to church. I'm going to show up. I'm going to get close. And the first song, the first note, I'm going to start drinking of what God has. Maybe it's your quiet time with the Lord. Do you personally seek God? Are you at ankle deep? The Holy Spirit wants to lead you a little deeper this year. That's why we're going to give you a book to help you. Maybe you've never had quiet times. We're getting ready to teach you how to do it. Come next week. God is calling us deeper. Have you ever seen people get in a swimming pool? There's kind of 2 ways you get in a swimming pool. Some people, they're the toesies kind of people. They get on the first step and they sit there and they warm up. Second step, and they're getting a little deeper. And they get to the waist and then, you know, they plunge under. That's 1 way to get in a pool. The other way is you do a cannonball. You're in. Well, I don't really care how you get in the river. I do know this, though, about people. People hate it when people push them in the pool. You hate that. I'm not here to push you today, but I am here to tell you that in the deep end of that pool, there's life for you. There's breakthrough for you. There is the life-giving presence of God for you. And I'm just inviting you to go there. Amen, church? Amen. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, if there are people here that have never surrendered their life to you in salvation, would you let this last Sunday of 2019 be that day? Would you speak to their hearts? In Jesus' name, we pray that. Lord, I pray that you give vision to your people for 2020. 2020, God. Give us new vision. Give us hope, Lord. Help us to see beyond the natural. Help us to see past our current circumstances, to see what you can do in our life if we just go deeper, God. Maybe the prayer for you is, Lord, what is my next step to go deeper? How do I take the next place in the river? How do I move to a deeper place? Maybe that's your thought today. Thank you, Lord. With our heads bowed, let's all pray this out loud. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, this prayer is a prayer that is your threshold moment where you come into the family of God. This is where you say, I believe in Jesus. And so if you're here, let's just all say it together. Let this be your first time for some. Pray this. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. that paid for my sins. I receive him as my forgiveness and my salvation. On the last Sunday of 2019, I am saved and I am free. In Jesus' name, come on, everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Come on, give Jesus a great clap today. Awesome, 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 awesome. He's good. He's so good. I want to take us to the year-end offering. So if you have your checkbooks or whatever you're going to do to give, I hope this month you prayed about it and you're prepared to give something above your tithes and offerings to help us be an influence in our city. The ushers would go ahead and come forward. And as they're coming and you're preparing that, I also want to let you know that if you filled out a connection card today, if you're a guest, we'd love to be able to welcome you, and you can put this card in the bucket as it goes around. There's a place for prayer requests. We probably get 60 to 75 prayer requests every week, and we pray over those things. We believe God for miracles every week in your life. But we want to take this special offering up today because I believe in 2020 we're called to do more in the area of outreach and evangelism. I believe that's part of the vision for our church. It's one of our purposes. This will give us the ability to do more through this offering. We'll take 100% of this offering and we're going to use it to partner with organizations in our city. We're going to say we support you and we're going to help fund you. We're going to use some of this offering to do outreach through our church so that when we partner in some event, we have the funds to really reach more and more people. And so as you give today, I want you to give as a seed and say, God, right now we don't see it, but I believe through my spiritual eyes, you're going to do more for our church in 2020 through evangelism and outreach than we've ever done. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name over every gift that comes. Lord, let it be a seed offering today for 2020. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen, amen. Church, I love you. God bless.